three topics. Each of these topics really requires individual attention, but because it is similar to the Slichot Bahav that we had today, Katsar Umikutsar, an abridged version, I will address Yom HaShoah, Yom HaZikaron, of course, Yom HaAtzmaut, all these three very significant elements in the lives of Am Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, and the like. It seems to me that the two main events that have impacted Klal Yisrael in the last century are the Shoah, the Holocaust, and to me, the most monumental event of the last 100 years is the establishment of the State of Israel. These two cataclysmic events changed Jewish society radically and probably permanently in many, many respects. And yet, to a certain extent, there are segments of Orthodox Jewry that for some inexplicable reason, to my humble thinking, ignores them as though they never happened. And I'll start with Yom HaShoah. When I was a youngster, a very young man, I was zochet to daven in a shtibol. I guess you would call it a shtibol. It means a smaller kind of shul, not a massive synagogue as you are accustomed probably to davening in. The Rav, Rabbi Kasiel Fuchs, in the Tzadik Debracha, had a massive influence on my life. This Rav lost his wife and entire family, all his children in the Holocaust, in the Shoah. And I davened there in the 50s. As a young man, very young man. And what he would do is on Yom HaShoah, which was almost basically not at all recognized by the entire Orthodox Jewish community, I'm not joking, so that was the reality, probably because it was too close to the Holocaust, I imagine, he would take me to a Reform temple in Brooklyn, Temple Emmanuel. We didn't go inside, so don't be choshed me. We stayed outside, and he was in tears the entire time. I was a very young man, but I took a liking to him and he took a liking to me for some inexplicable reason. And I used to go and basically we were there for several hours. That had a massive impact on my life. I was very taken by that. And then he told me that to him, Yom HaShoah was a fulfillment of a pasuk in Chumash. He saw it as Amalek. You're probably familiar, or maybe you've heard, and if you haven't, I'll just mention it. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal mentioned in the name of his father. He had a chidush. He had a lot of chidush. This is one of the chidushim hamarakim biyoter. Not a simple chidush. That essentially Nazi Germany is the incarnation of Amalek. Hitler is the incarnation of Amalek. And there's a din of zachor. I'm not going to go into the details of Pratim right now of the halachic lomdis that stands behind this particular chiddush. But this Rav, whom I grew up in his shadow, he also subscribed to that notion that the Nazis and the din of Amalek, and there's a din of eradicating evil. Chazal tells us, the Zohar tells us, since Rabbi Heber Shlita arrived, I can quote the Zohar. The Zohar tells us that Amalek is told that the Tohu. They are evil incarnate, the personification of evil. The way Chazal, the Malbim actually describes this in his Perush on Chumash, Vayavu Amalek, they came out of nowhere to attack the Jewish people. We left Mitzrayim, we were obviously in a certain kind of weakened state after being subjected to Avodas Perach for so many years, for 210 years. And suddenly they attacked us. The Malbim writes that usually when a nation attacks another nation, they do so for some reason, such as, one, they want to conquer territory. Two, they do so for reasons of stature, prestige. And he gives a long list of items. None of this applies here. They came from a distance and they attacked us. Nazi Germany, for whatever reason, came up with this notion. The Aryan race, and we clearly, not just Jews, but there were many non-Jews that were also killed in the Holocaust. And they were, this Rav held, they had a din Amalek. And Rav Soloveitchik quoted, as I said, from his father, Rav Soloveitchik, based on Yukib, a Mishnah Maseches Yadayim, a Rambam, here and there. I can't get into those details right now. It needs a longer shir, that they have a din Amalek. And so, when I was growing up as a very young man, this Rav, who lost his entire family in Baruch Hashem, he remarried. He married an American woman who was probably, I suspect, 25 years younger than he was, and had one child. And Baruch Hashem, that one child has many children and grandchildren, and so thank God, Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker. He went through the Holocaust, and he was very, very sensitive to the Holocaust. Yom HaZikaron, which of course commemorates today those Jews who lost their lives, whether it's soldiers, chayalim, but tzahal, who were Moshe Nefesh. On Friday night in my shul, I discussed the mokor for this concept that a Jew who gives up his life is considered to be someone who died al Kiddush Hashem. It's not explicit in Rambam. I've been searching in the Rambam for the last 50 years of my life, and I've not found an explicit statement in the Rambam to that effect. However, the Chassam Sefer says it explicitly. The Chassam Sefer writes in the Tshuva that any Jew who is killed by a non-Jew, even if it's a shod, what does a shod mean? You call what my Rebbe used to call, one of my European rabbis, a holdupnik. Someone holds the Jew up and kills him. He has a store, whatever it may be, that's what he used to call it. A holdupnik. That was the extent of his English. So, even that, as Sam Sofer says, is considered to be an act of Kiddush Hashem. And certainly, Kal v'chomer, Moshe Kal v'chomer, a Jew who dies, whether it's defending the state of Israel, Meisim Nefesh, and is killed because he's a Jew, and Shum Sofek, in my mind, that's Kiddush Hashem. I have many rights for this. Maybe with Rabbi Heber Shlita, I'll be able to discuss it. The best right is Yushalmi Trias. What happened was someone gave me Mechaber, he translated Yushalmi into Hebrew. So he told me Rav David, he used to dab in my shul. And the Atemachai said, B'tunai Shata Tilmad, Eta Yushalmi. So I said, the whole Yushalmi? I can't learn the whole Yushalmi. Not possible. Okay. Tikach Masechet Achat. Take one Masechet. So I said, Brachot, I'll take the easy Masechet. So I learned all Masechet Brachot Yushalmi. Then I thought he'd give me the entire Yushalmi. And after he talked, he gave me Brachot. I see the game he's playing. I said, okay, I want the next one. So he said, okay, which Masechet do you plan on learning now? I said, Peah. Bring you another easy one. So I learned Peah, he gave me Peah. Then I thought he'd give me the rest of the Yushalmi. No. I saw the game he was playing. So I learned Yushalmi Shvius. And finally I got the whole Yushalmi out of it. I didn't learn the entire Yushalmi, unfortunately, but Yushalmi Shvius, it tells the story of Kopas and Lulianus, also described in Masechet Tainis. Twice in Shas it's found. Yushalmi Shvius and in Masechet Tainis, there are two Jews who gave up their lives to save an entire city. Because Jews were in terrible danger in this city, and they said they're the ones who committed a certain crime, and they were killed by the non-Jews, and they did so in order to save all Palestine. The Gemara says, no one can possibly stand in their mechitza. And I maintain that those who gave up their lives as Jews throughout the millennia, and certainly those who gave up their lives to establish the state of Israel, are in that ghetto. I heard myself from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zatzal. I myself, with my own ears, left ear and right ear, in 1971, the following Kiddush. I used to visit Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach every week. I told you the story. You recall? Oh, yeah. I went on Erev Sukkot to ask Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach the first time, 71, do I have to observe Yom Kippur Sheni Shagolis? Ki'ilu, I was planning on making Aliyah. Ki'ilu. Thank God I made Aliyah. But many years later. So he after speaking to me for 5 minutes, he realized I have no intention of making Aliyah at that point in time. And I should observe 2 days of Yom Kippur. That's what he told me. So then I said to him, while I had him, can I ask him other questions? He said, of course. So I was there for about an hour and 15 minutes. And in the course of that conversation, I think I told you, I told him a little. He asked me, about the half hour of the conversation, are you hungry? Which American young man is not hungry? So he said, what would you like? I said, chocolate rugelach. So he looks at me, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he learned there initially, rugelach keilu. I don't know if I have these rugelach. I'll look. So I said, Rav Shlomo Zalman on a mission. He said, my relative is not here. She wasn't there at the time. He went looking. He found chocolate rugelach. He brings them to me on a nice plate. And in his presence, I eat all the chocolate rugelach. Do you think I'll ever get kapara? I doubt it. I didn't realize who he was. I didn't realize who he was. I'm telling you the honest truth. I know he was a big rabbi. Because when I came to his home, and I asked, so he told me, Korim li Orbach. They called me Orbach. I said, but Adonim b'chabes v'Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Korim li Shlomo Zalman. All right, Korim li Shlomo Zalman. That's what he told me, with a big smile. So I figured it was the right place. So now, I got my chocolate baglach. And you know what happened? About 20 minutes later, I was very thirsty. So I said, Yesh mashu l'shtot? Is there what to drink? So he said, what do you like? I said, I need some hot tea. Can I ask him, do you also have lemon? I'm not upset, you're right. You're correct. He's a tzaddik, he's so are you. Guess what? He made me hot tea and even found lemon, which he cut for me. I said, wow, I like these rabbis. Ruggala, hot tea. Ah. You're right, Abby. Whatever you're thinking, I'm saying. There's no kapara.
This is kapara.
Okay. I'm not talking to you. Yes. So, I said to him, can I come back? He said, anytime you want. Every single week for a year and a half, for Rabbi Haber, Chazarti Elav. Every week. So one of the occasions I was speaking to him about Yom HaZikaron, I asked him two questions. One about this moment of silence. You're aware of it last night they had at, I think it was 8 o'clock. I was wondering why in my shul we down in a quarter to 8 last night and the Baal Tzvi was in a hurry. I forgot about the silence. Even I've been here 20 years. By now I should know. I just didn't remember what time it was. This morning also the siren at 11 o'clock, as you probably know. Anyway, so he was rushing like crazy last night. And he was rushing, he told me afterwards, because he was worried about the siren in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, something along those lines. Because he knows the rabbi, the shul, tends to be a tircha de tzibura. So he's in a hurry. And I couldn't understand why was he in a hurry. I tried to figure it out, okay, but I didn't think too quickly. Anyway, we finished 10 seconds before the siren. So I asked Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach about the siren, because someone told me it's Chukos HaAkum. So he said not to follow Chukos HaAkum. I didn't see why it was Chukos HaAkum, but I didn't know much about Chukos HaAkum in 1971. Trust me. There's a taste in Abed Zohar, David Aleph, quoted Chukos HaAkum is one of three things. One, the Shem Abed Zohar. Is this moment of silence the Shem Abed Zohar? I don't think so. Two, the Shem Pritzos. What, how to translate Pritzos?
Lewdness.
Frivolity. Let's not get that carried away. That's what it is, basically. But behavior which is inappropriate, I just think this is a shame, Pritzos. The third reason is if there's no reason why you're doing it. So say, that's it. That's what they'll tell you. Not a kesher. People gave up their lives, and we're trying to show their charetz to the people who lost their lives, who gave up their lives. So if you're so frugal that you're not in the battle Talmud Torah for 1 second, okay, you'll be like the Rabbanim and Yeshiva. They're busy thinking of Gemaras and Sheshmaitzes and Seisim and what have you during that moment. Say that. Nicha. I have no objection to that. But Derech Eretz, you have to have Derech Eretz for, that's right, my Rebbe. You have to have Derech Eretz. You too. So anyway, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach told me the following. I heard this with my own ears. Then later on I heard it from Rav Devin Sol Shlita. Then I checked again with Hagarzin, Hagarzin Azam Bechemia, the son of Rav Shlomo Zalman. I wanted to make sure I heard it correctly. He told me, David, he didn't call me Rav David then. Now something he did call me Rav David, I don't know why. I was a little kid. Even now I'm not growing to the title of Rabbi. Okay. I was Mekayim through Rav Salveshi, apostle. He gave me smicha. Sama chesyod al rosh hapar. An animal also had smicha. So I was able to smicha. He tells me the following. I was telling him about Kvorin. When I was in 71, of Eber Shlita, I used to go to, fell in love with a sabbath called Sidur Shal Shabbos. Which Eber Shlita is very familiar with. Someone just purchased it for me. Ari Schmitz of Shlita, my Rebbe, just purchased me a new volume, a new edition. The print, you can actually read it. It's a new edition. The edition I have, I fell in love with that sefer. I used to go to visit, I used to go to his cabin, it's fine. very often, 71, 72. So I told this to Rav Shlomo Zalman, I had to tell him everything. I didn't realize who he was. I wouldn't have done it, really. I apologize. I'm just not even worthy of being a dust at the feet of the Goyim of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So I told him, I go to Kvarim, I go to this keber. So he said to me, why are you running to all these Kvarim? Right over here in Yerushalayim, there's a place to go to. I said, where's that? He said, Har Herzl. Kach shamati mipiv kodshei pekodesh shel agoyim shel zamo lebach. Har Herzl, right here, with Jewish soldiers, chayalei tzal, give up their lives. That's where you should go. You hear that? Shel zamo lebach, Golador. Wow. One last thing about the Yom HaZikaron and the like. Erev Yom Kippur, I used to go to the Shmuzin, Sichot, about Agon of Chaim Shulevitz, 71, 72. I got around there as well, Rabbi Heber Shlita. I was in Punovich once a week to hear the Shir Klobli, Rabbi Shach Zatzal, I heard Shmuel Wasowski, I heard Rabbi Chatzkel Levenstein, Zechel Tzadik Nevocha. Once a week I was with Rabbi Lochem Persovitz Zatzal, here on Yevomis. One night I heard Rabbi Chaim Shulevitz in the Shmuzin. Motzei Shabbos. Shh, don't say anything. Don't tell this to anybody. I left the Yeshiva Itri at 12:30 at night and went to Rechov Balatanya in Meir Shalom to learn Tanya. Did it for a year and a half. We went through the entire state, right? And we stood up and was sick in the morning. Then they would serve very interesting types of food in the morning. Maybe you can figure it out. They serve there. See the eggs and a little mashke. Anyway, so I got around Eretz Yisrael. I wanted to be telling him from Eretz Yisrael. So I went to Yom Chaim Shulevitz, Erev Yom Kippur, and he makes the following statement. He went to the Kaisel, Erev Yom Kippur. He saw a chayal chinoni, a secular soldier. Went over to him, hugged him and kissed him. And the guy takes a look at this, Yom Chaim Shulevitz. He's a shmaltzer yid, dressed in black. That's a joke. Dressed in black, clearly from a certain segment of the yeshiva world. And so the guy's taken aback. He said, well, why are you hugging me and kissing me? So he said, I'll find you, let me say Yiddish. I said, well, the Shmuzin were in Yiddish. If not for you, the Mir Yeshiva would not be able to sustain itself in Eretz Yisrael. I am makir tov to you. Kach shamati from going to Chaim Shulevitz with my own ears. Left ear, right ear. Wow. I was taken aback. Makar satov to Chaim Shulevitz. Of course, the next day, in Brisk, they put him in Chaim. I got quite a kick out of that. Why? Because I'm kind of sure can take them and turn them upside down in learning. You know, Kalat Torah Kula by heart. They are very fine. I've done it. I'm very fond of Brisk. You probably know that. Extremely fond of them. They're the last remnant of real Limud HaTorah in the world. And Limud HaTorah began with Brisk. You know that. One day we're learning Yishak and Yerodeh with Rav Soloveitchi. He says, it can't be. I said, what can't be? The Shah says what the Rav Chaim says. How could that be? He preceded Rav Chaim. Can you read the Shah also knew how to learn? Chidushim. Anyway, now let's come to Yom HaTzmaut, which is falls upon the heels of Yom HaZikaron. I want to say over Yisod, which I heard from the Rav. I have notes from Rav Soloveitchik from 1968, Rav Abram. I don't even know if you were here, shall we say, at that point in time. But anyway, I actually Xeroxed that a number of times already. 68 is a few years ago. How many years ago was that? I only took calculus. I'm not good in the simple arithmetic.
Almost 50 years ago.
Thank you. Very good. I'm lucky my Rebbe is here. I got you. The Rav said a Yisod, which to me is unbelievable. I'm so misquoted from this Yisod, out of Yom HaZeh, I can't get over it. I was also Zaycheh in the 60s, before 68, to hear his brother, Agon Avraham HaLevi Soloveitchik Zatzal, also in Yom HaZeh. a number of times. I used to, Hatoy ani maskir ayom. I went to every shir, Yosef, every single high school shir. One day a week, Avraham Soloveitchik, Zatzal, used to say a shmooz. And the whole place packed out. The whole high school, the whole college, 300 people used to come to hear. He was on fire, Avraham Soloveitchik. And several times he spoke about Yom Ha'atzmaut. And I will share a little bit. I don't have time. I really need, as I said, 500 hours to discuss the topic properly. And of course, they give me 15 minutes, another 15 minutes or so. I know Rabbi Schneider will be here shortly, Rabbi El Malay, and they'll take me away in chains. Let's start with the Rav. The Rav said, examine for a moment anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is Ban Chazal, as you know. What was anti-Semitism related to? Tell me some of the xeris that the Roman government, they, shall we say, issued a number of xeris against Tal Yisrael. The xeris were in what area?
Torah.
Limud HaTorah, correct? That's a Gemara in Brachis. Did you get that Gemara yet? Pabas Ben Yehuda, Rabbi Akiva, the end of Brachis? Of course you did. Next. Besides the Limud HaTorah that they, this is what it goes there against. Next. Mila, excellent. What else? Rosh Chodesh. Wow. Yeah, we have goyim in this yeshiva. Unbelievable. Veritable goyim. Wow. What else besides Rosh Chodesh? It's great. That's some people that usually don't know that. What else? Something we mentioned. Talmud Torah. What else? Bris Mila. Rosh Chodesh. Shabbos. So they were primarily directed against what? Jewish institutions, if you will. Mitzvahs and the like. Said the Rav, today, anti-Semitism is no longer related to that. Of course, they want to get rid of that too. But what is anti-Semitism related today to? Anti-Semitism today is, I'll read the language. Hysterical anti-Semitism was related to mitzvahs. To Am Yisrael, to Teres Yisrael. Today, the Rav said, anti-Semitism is related to anti-Zionism, anti-Eretz Yisrael, anti-State of Israel. And there's no question the establishment of the State of Israel, especially the conquest of Yerushalayim HaKodesh 50 years ago, contradicted the basic premise of Christian philosophy, which was that the Jew has been forsaken by Hashem Yisbarach, Rachmana Litzlan. I happen to be a voracious reader. Was, Lashon Hara. There was a book I read many years ago called, and it's about the forsaken Jew by Eugene Sue. Kadere is a poet and doesn't even know it. But whatever the case is, 1,000 pages, written by a Catholic, and essentially it's related to the Catholic Church and the like, and their position is very clear. Alayom Azeh, the Pope and the Papacy and the Catholic Church have difficulty recognizing the fact that Baruch Hashem, Am Yisrael, was ordered to a state. They can't deal with it. They cannot deal with it. Why? It contradicts the most fundamental theological premises of the Catholic Church. I don't know how much you read it about Catholicism. You're probably not into that so much. Baruch Hashem, we weren't a black Gemara. Thank God. But it's Hatoy Ani Maskir Ayom. I happened to grow up next to a Catholic church when I was a little kid. And the rector, pastor, priest started getting very friendly with me and all my brothers. My other brothers ragged him around for their lives. And I took an interest. And at one point, my father was shown, got frightened out of his wits that the guy was trying to be Makari. In the wrong direction. I tell you, I have a lot of interest in the Catholic Church. And I actually examined carefully different aspects of Catholicism. I can't discuss it right now. One day, those who are interested, I'll be glad to talk to you. Maybe I'm a heavy shlita, I can have a lovely discussion with you about all the theories I found in the New Testament all over the place, and other issues that I have with the Catholic Church, and especially the way they treated the Klal Yisrael. But anti-Semitism has become anti-State of Israel. Would you not say that is true? Certainly, we're in the year 2017. What would you say? A man of your intellectual ilk, the Dvarim Pshutim is right in front of us. It's all related to the State of Israel. No matter what element or area, that's all they're trying to do is destroy us. They want to destroy the state. And there's no question in my mind. Many years ago, there was an article published in Tradition magazine by a professor of English maybe 30 years ago. He writes, can Judaism exist without the state of Israel? So they excoriated him. They put him in. The Rav used to say that prior to the state of Israel, obviously, how do we exist? Right, the way outside you go and says we existed. How's that? I'll tell you. That is the lifeline of the Jewish people. I saw the Shabbos, you know, I have to like very much. Oh boy. turn the clock back. I have to like very much. Chabad puts out a weekly journal. You know what I'm talking about? The editorial page is always outstanding. So the editorial page, I don't have with me. The editorial page this Shabbos speaks about what's happening in the Supreme Court and their scintillating brilliance. They have a lot of that in this country. So they just recently ruled that stores on Tel Aviv could be open on Shabbos. And you can imagine that that's a source of terrible angst for an Orthodox observant Jews, and even for non-observant Jews, one day a week, for goodness sakes, let's have a little bit of menucha. And why was the state of Israel established? So, Absalomich used to say it was established as the Matan HaShemayim in order to want to enhance our ability to observe Torah and mitzvahs. There's no question about it. That we say, Gemara Brachas, I wouldn't even trouble you about for Gemara Brachas. What does the Gemara say? That what elements are indispensable in Birchas HaMazon? If you don't have them, you're not Yotzei Birchas HaMazon. Tell me. Number one, two. Three.
Torah.
Mazel Tov. The Pesukim all of the Tanakh. Tanakh from the beginning of Bereishis all the way to the end of Divrei Hayomim. Eretz Yisrael is founded upon the premise of commitment to Torah and mitzvahs. And if not that, then how are we different than the Irish? We also have a country. And what do they have there? Irish potatoes. One of the Rosh Hashanah, he was a well-known fellow, Ben Gurion. You ever heard of him? First Rosh Hashanah in this country. And others have also made statements of this nature, which of course are absolutely scurrilous. I translate scurrilous. I don't know if a doctor has to know that word. Namely, how will we know that we have a state when we have all the ills of every other state? Namely, Rahman al-Litzan, all the nether aspects of society. That's what they say. Rahman al-Litzan, that we should have such a notion. But at the same time, we have to learn to be tolerant of each other, to interact with each other. And there's no question, the state of Israel, to my mind, is the greatest act of hashkacha of this century. The most monumental event that Ribbono Shalom gave us an opportunity. Now, I have here, Rabbi Haber probably recognizes it. Say the Yom HaAtzmaut, Minhag HaTzionim, Minhag HaKanoim, Minhag HaKharedim. The three different minhagim. So, I guess you call it the Haredi world. What do? They get up, they read the Itonim HaModi HaYatei Ne'aman. They have to learn what the Das Torah of Gedol Yisrael is, and how we should relate to this day. Yom HaAtzmaus, Yom HaTzionim. We hope that the rest of the world, 95% of the Jewish world in Israel, will do tshuva. Okay, this is a little taken away. It's a little exaggerated, of course. Minhag HaKanoim, forget about it. They sit shiva, sitting on the ground, saying Yecha, Vadechil Hashem. And if they're sat in the heaven, they hope the state will be dismantled as soon as possible. Otherwise, the Gula will not be here. Minhag HaTzionim, ho-ho. We say Hallel, with the bracha. We read Kriyas HaTeva, Yara HaTeva, Mishbach Betzal, we sing our Tikva, and on and on. All this is exaggerated, clearly. And of course, the answer, and usually what I say every year, I think Rabbi Haber Shlita has heard me before, as you know, there are some people that Yom HaTzmaut is the very epicenter of the year for them, and as you know very well, it's the most decisive factor of my religious status. If I don't wear blue pants and a white shirt, and don't have a Sunas Mitzvah, I should forget about trying to please Hashem Yisbarach. I missed the boat. See, I told you he's never come and take me away and change. Anyway. And no amount of Torah or chesed that a person does can actually make up for the grave omission, Ikar Chasim and HaSefer. The most important day of the year, the epicenter, the quintessence of my entire year is Yom HaTzmaut. Then you have the other side that I just alluded to a moment ago, the three minhagim. And of course, there's the position which I represent, which of course is the correct position. Fairly evident and fairly obvious. Namely, we cannot ignore the state of Israel. We cannot ignore what's happening in history. And I'll, as I always do, I'll read a bit of the Ramban. I'm very fond of the Ramban. I don't think the Ramban was some wild-eyed, gun-toting religious nationalist, as far as I know. Maybe Rabbi Haber will correct me. Ramban writes, He says the Aschalt of the Gula, the beginning of the future redemption, will be through getting permission from the governments of the world to return to Eretz Yisrael, and there will be a kibbutz Goliath, Lashon HaRamban, and Shir HaShirim. I taught Shir HaShirim. I also learned the Ramban Shir HaShirim. I also learned the entire Kitzvah Ramban. I hope you don't mind. In my shul, I've been teaching him for the last 20 years. Unbelievable. The Rishonim did not merit to receive permission from the governments to return to Eretz Yisrael. We do. And I'm not going to start quoting because I'm not a cookie-in. I'm not a cookie-in. Who's a cookie-in? You know what a cookie-in means? Talmidim of Yeshivat Merkaz HaRav, Rachuk Zatzal. He was a great giant. I'm sorry?
Rav Marmis.
That's correct. Oh, Hashem. See, you know who's whom in the world. That's good.
He wants it a lot.
So, you know something? That should be the worst thing that he flaunts. Halavaya should be one of his Talmidim. And the Talmidim Rav Kook referred to Gemara Sanhedrin. The Gemara speaks about the efflorescence of the state of Israel, the efflorescence of Eretz Yisrael, which has happened in our day. The Rav used to refer to another Ramban. Ramban Chumash writes on the Pasuk that Hashem is going to render Eretz Yisrael shomein, render it desolate. So the Ramban says that Eretz Yisrael will not be able to be in any way colonized or taken over. And you know what happened the last hundreds and hundreds of years. Who was here in Eretz Yisrael? Which empires were here? Number one?
The
Ottoman Empire. Number two?
British.
The British. Number three?
Was the Ottoman?
Besides us.
Romans.
Yes, there were many different governments who attempted to colonize Eretz Yisrael unsuccessfully. So our Soloveitchik said, that's clearly a key of the Pasuk in Chumash. Ramban, it's not our Soloveitchik's Kiddush. And as long as we are not here, and we have not returned to Eretz Yisrael, it will remain desolate. And that is unbelievable. What a nevuah, different nevuah of the Torah, of the Ramban. The moment we came back to Eretz Yisrael, what did we do? There were swamps here that had to be drained. And Eretz Yisrael, 69 years later, it's actually started before, is today booming. Efflorescence! Wow! So clearly, there's no question that there's a connection between the establishment of the state of Israel, which also I heard from Hagoyin Ravon Yitzhak Akoyin Pam, Zevatzai Bibracha. You know Rabbi Pam? I went to Yishmuzim when I was in high school. I went to high school, am I allowed to say? They had no school on Friday. From Yeshiva Yossi High School. They still don't have school on Friday? They didn't have school on Friday in my day. So what did I do? I was 13 years old. And I'm doing it myself. So what would you have done? You would have done something obviously more constructive, unquestionable. I went to the Shmuzim Rav Pam in Tarabas for many years. One of the Shmuzim Rav Pam, I heard that the state of Israel was founded after the Midas Hadin. The Midas Hadin in Bishalah was terrible. We don't understand it. Tested upon him. Hashem is Baruch. Who can explain it? No one. But upon the foundation of that Midas Hadin, what a luminous, what a flood of light that Hashem Yisbarach gave us, the chesed and the schus to establish a state. Unbelievable chesed and rachamim. Kach shamati mehagoyin hakodesh avamakoyin pam tzatzal. So there's no question that the state of Israel is a tremendous batana. Whether one says hallel, one does not say hallel, that needs, as I said, an examination of the entire corpus of Hallel. I will just say one last thing that I heard from Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik in the 60s. I don't even think Rabbi Schneider was around.
Not
60s. Although Rabbi Schneider is, wow, Baruch Hashem. It's good that Hashem has brought, put him on the scene just to save us. And Rabbi Abraham, there's a, I'll end with this, okay, I know 5 to 10, I know I'm looking at my watch. I actually, this morning I went to see what Naval Observatory time is, just to make sure. There is a pasuk that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and I also heard the same pasuk quoted by Harav Soloveitchik, and they contended the following. They argued, and I'm not sure I'm going to find the pasuk, I don't know, I think I brought it with me. They argued that the pasuk says in Tanakh, at one point in time, here it is. Malachim Beis, there it says the following. There was a king named Yerovam ben Yoash. He was a terrible king. Vayasara v'ini Hashem. Lo son mikol chatzis Yerovam ben Nevat. And yet, despite that fact that he was a Rosha Merusha, he was able to restore the borders of Klal Yisrael from Hamat to Yam HaRava. I believe Machlokes in the Talmud Yerushalmi, I mentioned before, I left Yerushalmi Shvi'is. There's Machlokes in the Talmud Yerushalmi in this pasuk that everything Yeshua conquered, he was able to restore. The other one says it's even greater than that of Yeshua. Now certainly he was not a greater tzaddik than Ben Gurion, this Yerovam ben Yoash. Why was he Zoichan? And the answer is that Hashem is Barach realized, and that's what it says in the pasuk. Below Dibre Hashem Nimchos Hashem Yisrael Yitachas Hashemayim Yoshim Yad Yerovam ben Yoash. That during the days of David HaMelech and Shlomo, it was not necessary to make the empire of Klal Yisrael so extensive. But if during the reign of Yerovam ben Yoash it had not happened, Rachmanu Litzlan, Klal Yisrael could have been Rachmanu Litzlan eviscerated. So in the time of the Rambam, there was no need for a state. Today, after the Shoah, somehow, you can no longer survive without a state. Now, whether one should say halal or not is a halachic issue. My practice has been like that of that Rav that I mentioned at the very beginning of my shmuz, Rabbi Basil Fuchs. He said, chatzi halal without a bracha in the 50s. You hear Harav Heber Shlita? But then Hashem said, Asrot Shanim. That's what I've been doing. Rabbi Salvechi was not happy about what they do at nighttime here in Eretz Yisrael. He felt a lot of it was tekes. He was not happy with it, but after many years of my shul, I finally permitted it. The Rav couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle a tekes. They light whatever they light. They blow the shofar. What else do they do? They sing l'chavodei. I mean, everybody traveled the wrong circles. But anyway, as I explained to you earlier, the circles I travel are the only circles I travel in. Neither to the left nor to the right, I'm always the one who's balanced. The one who's in the middle. Anyway, the kids are, so they do all kinds of things. But why? Because they have to find some way of manifesting HaKras HaTov Tashem. You have to be Makritov, the Chazi Hashem. Whether you say Hallel with the Bracha, without a Bracha, Yeshami, this smoke, you can say Hallel with the Bracha. That's clear. But it's a halachic issue. And one should not introduce Amaratzis in the day, however, the monumental significance of the State of Israel for a Torah Jew, an observant Jew, has to be recognized. Halavai, that all of you should be zonked to come to Eretz Yisrael. Because all of you, when you come, what did I come for? To introduce balance and moderation in the country. You see how well I've succeeded. But if all of you come, undoubtedly, all of us together will be able to introduce that element of balance and moderation, and we'll be mekayer v'achinu b'nei Yisrael, l'avinu shel hashamayim. Amen.